Hi, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to Ardent Atheists, which is a contradiction in terms, because as soon as you're ardent about something, you believe. So these people are full of shit. But listen anyway, because it's fun to listen to people who think they're right.
Hello, Homo sapiens, and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hello, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Heather.
Nothing.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and as the lead singer in the No God Band, which headlined Penn Jillette's private rock and roll bacon and donuts party in Las Vegas, Nevada, at Tam 9 from Outer Space. You can find links to our guest's website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and our email at ardentatheist.com. If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by Heather during the show, go to the Facebook page for Ardent Atheist and like our page and then join in. Even though this is a pre-recorded show from TAM, we will be chatting with you on the Wall of Reason. So, join Heather there now. And please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and write a review. Help us get in the top 10, won't you? We only have a couple of rules on our show. Rule number one, as a stoned hippie chick I met at Burning Man once told me, you can plug anything you want as long as you make it feel natural. And rule number two, if you're a listener who has ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, you sexually repressed, closeted, homophobic Republican senator and or congressman. Our guests in the studio today, Kelly Carlin,
hello.
Jamie Kilstein, Paul Provenza, and Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Thank you for being here, folks.
Thanks for having me.
I know we only have
that applause was only six people, even though it sounded like 30.
It sounds like bigger than it is.
It sounds like a whole studio audience.
Well, your mom's here, so.
It's your mama, honey.
That'd be your mama.
I saw your mama.
You gotta say it right.
I saw your panel today. I was applauding and hooting and yelling. You're a superstar, in my opinion. I want you to start right off, please, with telling our listeners, how is the U.S. government killing space travel?
Well, they're not killing space travel.
Yeah?
There's a point that was not made on stage today that I thought I was, like, commenting too much, and so I pulled back. But it's actually in a book that I've written that's coming out. How's that for a plug?
That's nice.
Yeah.
What's the name of the book?
How's that for a segue plug?
Tell us the name.
It'll come out in February, but it's every thought I've ever had on the past, present, and future of space and space exploration. And
that's the title?
No. That's
that. It should be.
That's the. It's titled Space Chronicles.
Okay.
And one of the points I made in there is, first of all, the current administration is working on the next generation rocket to get us back into orbit and beyond.
Okay.
The difference is, the promised time that that vehicle will be ready goes beyond the tenure of Obama, even if he's a two-term president.
Right.
So this lays bare, this leaves susceptible at a funded program that when he's out of office, the political support for it evaporates with him. In the 1960s, Kennedy said, we're going to go to the moon before the decade is out.
Right.
No. Most people think, well, that's just a nice round number. No, he fully expected that we would land on the moon under his watch as a two-term president. He would have gone through to January 1969, and without the Apollo 1 fire, we would have landed on the moon 2 years earlier.
So who do we have to go to war with to make Obama say?
So the drivers of this...
Is there anybody left to go to war with?
Yes, there is.
There's a few. Oh, yeah. We're looking at China, aren't we?
Yeah. So what I want China to do is accidentally leak a fake memo that asserts that they want to build military bases on Mars.
Okay.
And that we'd be on Mars in 12 months.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Who speaks Chinese? Let's get this out there.
Yeah. They just have to leak it. It doesn't have to be true.
Put it on Twitter.
It doesn't even have to be true.
Yeah, you just have to tweet it.
At Barack Obama.
Right.
Love China.
So
my point is, we're living in an era now where presidents are promising programs that they don't have to see through to their completion. And right. For me, that's an unstable political funding scenario.
Yeah.
And so Obama, I've heard his speech in Florida. He was a great speech, as he always gives. But this one had a vision of the future where we are traveling to Mars. He spoke of this.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's this 15-year gap. And so the engineering staff, the scientific staff, the administrative staff that has the institutional memory of what it is to actually put somebody into orbit and out of Earth orbit, they're all retired by then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the discontinuity is not how you run a space program. The people lament the ending of the shuttle.
Yeah.
No, that's misplaced lamentation. what they're really lamenting is the absence of another vehicle sitting adjacent to it,
right, yeah,
to carry on the space program,
okay,
to its next stages.
Yeah, I'm happy to see the space shuttle go.
Yeah, no one lamented.
I am. It's because it's like a look at the thing. It's like a 57 Chevy.
It is, exactly.
Well, that's Paul Provenza talking
fins,
right
those
now.
Those are not aerodynamic. They're just designed.
No one lamented Gemini.
Right.
Because Apollo was sitting right next to it.
Right.
End of an era, beginning of an era. We need is the money and we need the drive.
I don't mind eras that end. It's when there's no beginning that concerns
and
me.
And that's the problem now.
And people said, aren't you going to go to the last shuttle launch? No, I want to go to the beginning of the next thing.
Yeah.
You're going to sign me up for that.
Yeah.
My question is, are the American people signed up for this? Or aren't they distracted with so many other things? Is anyone really sitting around going, oh, we need to do this?
I have hypothesized that our brains collectively are incapable of a complex cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I mean by that is, they say, oh, we need better science in the country. Let's make better science teachers.
Right.
Okay. We need X, let's do Y. We need Z, let's do W,
right,
whatever. Okay. But some things require a couple of steps. For example, okay, let's double NASA's budget. Oh, no, we can't afford it. Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because if you double NASA's budget, we're going to Mars. And we're going to Mars soon. Mm-hmm. You know something? We have to choose the next astronaut class who's going to do that. You know who they are? They're in middle school right now. Let's choose them. Let's find the ones with the best grades and who eat healthy.
Right.
Tag them. Teen Beat will start writing about them. They'll become celebrities in our culture.
He's absolutely right.
Wait, let me finish out. No, I'm on a roll. Let me get an amen from
you. I'm so excited.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So now they become the next generation's Mercury 7.
Mm. Right.
Okay? Then what happens? Other people want to emulate them.
Right.
They want to become this next generation of astronauts.
Yep.
So they start taking extra science classes. They start taking better care of their health. They start studying harder. And you infuse a generation with an ambition to dream about tomorrow in the face of what it is to be scientifically and engineeringly literate.
Absolutely.
And once you've accomplished this, there's a wave of innovation that spreads across the land that triggers economic growth in sectors that didn't previously exist because they were innovated out of that generation of thinkers.
So are you running for president?
Right. So, my point
is, what we need.
My point is, on that scale, going to Mars makes economic sense because it assures the future growth of this nation as a technological leader.
Mm.
Without it, we might as well just move back into the cave.
Right.
And another lamentation of mine is that what I just told you takes longer than an elevator ride to convey to a congressman.
Right,
and
people
are saying, what's your elevator pitch? Excuse me? The congress people work for us.
Exactly.
If you can't sit there and fucking stand longer than an elevator ride, what the hell country am I living in?
Let's send Justin Bieber to Mars.
I was hoping I would get a fucking from Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Elevators are a little touchy right now.
Now we have one more question.
Wait a minute. I just want to add to this. I am so with you. I was drooling listening to you. You're right. I agree. And I know how we can make this happen. We make the space program a reality series.
Yeah.
Then they have to do something right around.
Seriously.
Or else they get Kardashian on it.
Do you know how much the situation made last year?
Kardashian and Bieber and Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
All right.
America's next biggest astronaut. Come on. This could work.
You'll make $1 billion.
All right. Heather has.
So all I'm saying, that's A goes to B goes to C goes to D. And I don't know that people can think that way.
Well, this actually speaks a little bit.
And I tweeted this. I tweeted that, as I said today in the panel, the bailout of the banks exceeded the 50-year summed budget that NASA has received since 1958.
All we have to do is slice the offense budget, as it should be fucking called.
Okay. And so, oh, we got a second F word there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's spreading.
It's internet. Yeah. It's
to
okay.
To be fair, though, we had
kids, five more minutes, we'll have the C word on the table.
To be fair, we had to bail out the banks so they could destroy our country. To be fair.
They so money so the Jamie argument Kelsey. That we're tied on money only has meaning if you're not looking everywhere you possibly can
right.
to readjust what that portfolio looks like mm. to assure your survival in the future.
Yeah. All right.
I've been dying to ask this question to you. I come from the inner city, primarily filled with Black and Hispanic kids. Thanks to Facebook, I've been able to reunite with some of my old friends. And I'm in shock to see so many of my classmates who, even though they were taught evolution right along with me in school, still dismiss it and prefer religious dogma. My question is, do you think there will come a time when the majority of the world will choose evolution over religious belief?
Yes, I think it's slower than people are hoping for.
Right.
But I think it will happen. There'll come a time where people who have beliefs that are regressive from technological advance will understand and recognize how it has disenfranchised them from participating in the 21st century and all that the technology can deliver for it. But I will say this, that in America, which is a pluralistic nation, a free society, I have no issues with people who, after their education, want to go ahead and believe that God did whatever it is they need them to be. I don't have an issue with that. I have an issue if they then want you to believe it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they want to go into your science classroom on the premise that that is the way it actually happened.
Yeah.
Then I got an issue with that.
And homosexuality, and the list goes on and right. on and
Where
on.
Where are they teaching that? What classroom is that?
Homosexuality.
It's back in Camden.
In my room.
You were homeschooled.
I was home. I was homeschooled. Hi, Uncle Toby. Shout out. So I out that son of a bitch every time I get a chance.
So, Paul, when did you slip in here?
I slipped when you weren't looking. That's my nature.
How the hell are you, man?
I'm good. We are fellow Bronx High School of Science alum.
Oh, I don't know that.
And I followed his career before he knew I existed.
Really?
Yeah.
Which career?
No, stand up first, but then I was a big fan of Northern Exposure, and he came in like in the last.
That, you mean the show he killed?
You know how Pluto was canceled from the whole solar system thing? I think I'm responsible for that. I think
you came on the show and I said that he's my guy. There he is.
Right.
Right.
That's so nice. Yes.
I'm gonna do what I should do. It's 8:15. That's all we have of you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I've had a very long day.
I know you have.
And what you guys do is fun, and keep it rolling.
Get out there.
It's good.
Get
and
out
I hope
there.
That in my little way, I at least help your listeners come to a new place.
That's our hope.
In their thinking. And like I said, I tweet the universe. They're mostly cosmic brain droppings, but it's there.
Yeah.
And
brain droppings.
He said brain droppings, by
brain
the way.
Brain droppings.
How Carlin-esque of you.
I know.
Kelly Carlin is George Carlin's daughter. I don't know if you've met her.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know that this was the...
That's who
the,
you're with.
Yeah, big fan. Well, who's not a fan? My gosh.
There's so, some
people. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say goodbye to Neil deGrasse Tyson.
All right.
Thank you, doctor.
Thank you,
guys. All right.
See you in New York, man.
All right. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode made possible in part by the hilarious book, The Atheist's Guide to Christmas. You can get a copy of Atheist's Guide to Christmas at Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. I'm honored to be included among the many brilliant contributors to The Atheist's Guide to Christmas, and portions of the proceeds go to the Terrence Higgins Trust to fight HIV and AIDS. Pick up a copy of The Atheist's Guide to Christmas today. And now back to episode 25 with Kelly Carlin, Jamie Kilstein, Paul Provenza, and Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. So that was Dr. Tyson giving us some time, and I hope we've learned a lot. First of all, fuck Obama. I think we've learned that.
That's the takeaway.
I'm going to leave because it's just Kelly and Jamie and I.
Provenza, thank you for joining us. Let's hear it for Provenza.
He's going after your Northern Exposure plug.
Tyson right now.
That's he's going to fuck Tyson.
Yeah.
We thank you for Provenza for coming in. We thank Provenza for coming in. He's doing a sound check on the Satirista show.
Yeah,
we are coming to you live from TAM, as I said at the top of the show, which I'll pre-record later. Jamie, thank you for doing the show.
Oh my God, thanks for having me.
Kelly, thank you for doing the show.
I'm so excited to be here. We finally get to do this.
Oh, it's you guys are you're both two people that I've been wanting to do the show with. And you know what? Go to your own mic.
Go to your own mic, woman.
Hey.
Woman, go to your own mic.
But
it's the 21st century. You get your own mic.
That's
yes.
true.
Yes.
You can vote.
Yes.
That's fucking
you get
awesome.
To vote. You get your own mic.
And let the record show that she walked over to Neil deGrasse Tyson's chair and sniffed it.
She did.
She sure
hell
did.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
authority.
Yeah.
Kind
did it smell black?
With all in the plan.
With
what are you
panache.
About?
That was panache.
So, what a great guy.
And oh my God. Maybe you think you didn't even record the interview and it was just so you could sniff his seat. Like, is this even a real podcast?
My
what the
plan
fuck is this?
It's not. It's not. Ulterior motives. I love your podcast, Jamie.
Me?
I love your podcast.
Oh, thanks, man.
I don't even completely agree. I'm more
libertarian.
I'm not a libertarian.
I don't know why I assume that.
Why did you say it like that?
You're not far. I call myself a libertarian when someone asks.
A libertarian. Nice. I like nice? That.
I like that. Because I think the libertarians have their fucking heads up their ass when it comes to things like healthcare.
Mm. You know, and that's what sucks. My whole deal with like libertarians is that I feel like it's for people. Because I know a lot of good people who call themselves libertarians, yeah. but I don't really think they know what it means.
Yeah.
I think it's for people who, rightfully so, hate the Democrats and hate the Republicans. Yeah. I consider myself a liberal. I certainly don't consider myself a Democrat.
No, we know you're a liberal.
And so they're looking for a title, right? So right. libertarian sounds really sexy. Why? Because libertarians believe that you should legalize drugs. That's yeah. sexy.
Well,
that's
the word liberty
sense.
Is attached to
yeah,
it. Yeah,
totally. Freedom. Stay the fuck out of my way. That sounds really good.
Right.
So you'll hear someone, you know, like Penn Jillette I idolize in so many ways. You hear him, he'll go, legalize drugs. And you go, fuck yeah. Stay out of the bedroom. Fuck yeah. And it's like, privatize all the schools. And I'm like, what the fuck does that
yeah.
mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what happened? Like, when did we make the right turn to Crazyville?
Right,
like,
right.
And that's the problem, is I just don't understand how these otherwise good and thoughtful and empathetic people think that if you do everything for profit, that it's not all going to get fucked. Because what's for profit? The healthcare industry? That's yeah. not working. Blackwater? That's not working.
Right. I thought you were going to say black people.
Black people?
They're not working either. They're fucking
working.
Shifty and lazy.
That was a different century. Yeah.
Black people.
I don't know.
Was that for profit? That. Or no? Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it was. Not right, their
yeah.
profit, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, and I think they're really right morally. I mean, really right morally, but they're completely impractical.
Well, you know what? Do you think part of it? So I always call them selfish cunts, right? But you think maybe? But
you know what? That's a conversation.
You know,
starter,
Ben's
right?
a friend
yeah.
of mine. I'm probably never going to get him on the show now because I know he'll listen to the Neil deGrasse Tyson show.
Well, no, but here's what I was going to say.
No, Ben, really, I agree with you. Go ahead.
Maybe it's the opposite. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not selfish cunts. Maybe they think that people are better than we really are. Maybe they think if they say, get the government the fuck out of my way, they're going to be like, no, people are going to do the
well,
right
thing. Now,
wait
things. A minute. Let me give you the real argument that as I see it. The argument is, and I get confused, and I'll show you my pitfall. I'll show you the pitfall I see.
Okay.
Infrastructure. Yes, tax us for that.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
Sure.
That's what they say.
Right.
Don't take my money and give it to anybody else for health care. Peery motherfucking id.
Right.
That's what they say. And my problem with that is, really? How are you getting? Where's your percentage? And you, by the way, you libertarians, you'll hear them 5% is okay, 3%. You'll hear some say 10 or 15%. There's this arbitrary number. We have a libertarian in here who's probably chomping at the bit right now. David Richards is with us taking photographs. And big libertarian. I might ask your opinion on a couple things.
Although this is very a socialist thing, having you take pictures then give it to us. And like, we sort of have a socialist operation.
He's a libertarian.
Going on.
He said, I got some pictures of Emily Zoltan with Minchin and myself and Heather with
dude.
Minchin from David Richards. And he's a libertarian. David goes, hey, if these are for commercial use, I need credit and I need to know who's going to pay me.
Right. So here
you didn't say anything about that.
Here's my
credit.
Thought,
right.
Here's kind of my bigger picture thought about this is we're talking about the difference between trusting the individual to do the right thing and understanding that the collective sometimes needs to come together as yeah. a commons
right.
to protect individuals from other individuals
yeah. mm-hmm.
because individuals are there is a greedy bone inside of all
selfish
of us.
Cunts.
There is that we are selfish cunts. We're humans. We're animals. We're wired to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we come together in this collective commons way and we agree as a collective that we need to take care of things on a collective. That's
yeah.
what the original commons was. So for me, it's always about balancing those two needs in some sort of conversation that right. supports the whole picture.
Right. Well, for me, it's democracy. If democratically we all agree to be mostly liberal about something specific like healthcare, Isn't that how it should work?
Yeah. Now, what libertarians will say, that's right. So for all the libertarians here,
if I see
without,
your hand
without,
go up,
without a microphone, I'll call on you. I'm so sorry. But I mean, I'm sure you agree with this, is that they'll say, well, look at the government.
Yeah.
The government's fucking inept.
Yes.
Look at where we are right now. And I agree, but that needs to be reformed as well. It's a separate conversation.
That's,
you know,
right.
What I mean? Because the problem is, again, in theory, if the government was doing their job and if the government wasn't completely run by corporations and corporate money because we don't have publicly financed elections, then what would end up happening is they're doing it. Why are they better than the free market? They're better because their goal isn't profit.
Yeah,
and
that's the problem. Whenever
the goal is profit, look at factory farms, right?
Yeah.
It's profit. So what do you have to do if your shareholders rely on you legally to make as much money as possible?
Yeah.
What do you have to do? You have to make production go as fast as possible. So that means you're cutting corners. That means regulation is down. So you have what happens to the miners.
But not all corporations do this, Jamie.
Oil spill, et cetera.
Not all corporations do this. That's one of the arguments I've heard, and I have to give in to Starbucks, for example.
Sure.
As I understand, there's a lot of maligning of Starbucks that's not valid. It's completely invented bullshit.
There is absolutely enlightened corporations.
You agree?
Yeah.
Absolutely, there
and
is.
And so the argument people, from right. all of my friends, and most of my friends are fucking libertarians, and so it's
but,
really honestly.
But what's the percentage of those enlightened corporations? What's the percentage of those people who have forward-thinking, postmodern, progressive worldviews?
Besides Walmart,
that see, that understand that there is a hole that needs to be thought of
yeah.
for every decision now,
right.
because we are no longer just little villages hundreds of miles apart or even 50 miles apart from each other. We are so interconnected now that everything everyone does affects everyone else on the planet.
Yeah. Is that how I got herpes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Damn
yeah.
it! Emery!
God damn you!
Free market herpes.
Well, it is a virus. Hello.
At least I didn't get AIDS.
Yes.
And I could have. So,
well, that went a different direction.
I have a lot of trouble with it. I really do. Because yeah. morally speaking, I see the libertarian view.
Because you want to
really
be like, everyone leave me the fuck alone.
I do.
I'm going to be good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, it's the problem is when the only goal is profit, it's never going to work.
Well,
it's never going to work.
And the thing I always think about is, we're all humans. We're all humans, whether we're a corporate president or we're an individual or we're a collective or we're progressive or we're a conservative. We're all humans trying to figure this shit out and do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really messy. And I really feel
not
that.
Not to mention confusing.
Confusing and yeah. messy. And I yeah. really, sometimes I just want to, you know, I feel that. Yeah, especially in America, but just the general, the unwashed masses or whatever, it's like they're looking for their parents to take care of them, like do it all. Either the corporations do it all or the government, but they're looking for someone else, and no one is
that
really
is the problem.
Taking
it's
responsibility.
The it's the all or nothing
yeah,
bullshit.
Because it's, you know, with everything, you have to take personal responsibility, and we have to ask each other to step up. Yeah.
I agree, but there is a difference because, you know, I know you as a person, right? Mm-hmm. So when you say personal responsibility, I know you're not like the blacks. But a lot of people who do talk about personal responsibility, you know, who are they? They're these really rich white male politicians, right? So they go, well, why don't they just pull themselves up by their bootstraps like I did? It's like, you mean when you were fucking born into an incredibly rich family
yeah.
and did nothing but mooch
right.
off your parents? You know, like Donald Trump's who says pull yourself up by your bootstraps. His dad actually did that. Donald Trump did not do that.
Right.
Donald Trump was born into that. Almost squandered it. Same with George W. Bush. And they're like, no, you ought to just pull yourself up. All you have to do is be go back and be born out of my mom's rich vagina.
Here's
and
a problem. Right. Nobody has any fucking bootstraps.
Right.
That's the problem.
Well, absolutely. And the thing about personal responsibilities, I think we need to reframe and redefine that.
Yes.
Because what I would say to Donald Trump is, no, what I'm talking about is you wake up in the morning and you say, how is my life and my decisions affecting A, B, and C.
Right,
because
right,
every decision someone like that makes who's a CEO affects thousands and tens of thousands of people.
Absolutely. And the problem is personal responsibility, you know, it's not being used against CEOs. It's not being used against Wall Street. It's being used against poor people.
Right.
You know, there's this group of people called the 99ers who have been unemployed for, you know, over a certain amount of time where they don't get benefits anymore and et cetera, et cetera. There are people who
right,
are
right.
looking, people who
wait,
are looking
wait,
for
let's
jobs
talk about
every
that
day.
For a minute. Let's talk about that for a minute. I just learned this.
Yeah.
You get your benefits for X amount of time, then nothing.
Yeah.
That's actually how the fucking system works.
Yeah, right.
Totally. And, you know, and there was a vote a while back. Do we extend the benefits? And, you know, the Republicans wanted to say no. And a lot of the
what the hell? Democrats.
Right.
I don't know how the fucking. Because
they say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They say, there are jobs out there. I mean, there are people go work at McDonald's. There are jobs out there. Or what happens if you go to be. So right now, that's just the poor people, right? So, you know, they've tried to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I mean, if you have kids, you know, can you go every day to find a job? Can you afford a sitter? Do you have to pull them out of school?
Right.
If you're one of those poor kids, right, you have to drop out of school to take care of your family. Suddenly, are you a bad person because you didn't graduate high school? Did you not pull yourself up by your bootstraps? You know, there are all these circumstances that we have to look back on, and a lot of it is institutionalized, whether it's institutionalized racism, whether it's institutionalized class war, and you have to look at the causes. Now, are there some people who are lazy? Yeah, but you know who I know that's lazy? Fucking white comics who live in New York who are getting food stamps when they could be getting money off of their fucking parents.
Hey, let me tell you something. My child molester fucking uncle is now I'm not kidding. He fucked my sister and me, all right? My sister, I'll never forget the night he dumped me. Anyway,
we're going to count every time Emery mentions his molestation.
I shouldn't be laughing, but it was just sounded like such a perfect comedic callback that I was like, yeah, molested guy.
He came in my room 3 a.m, woke me up and said, I think we need to see other relatives. He started fucking my sister. My uncle is now a fucking repube, and he's constantly talking that fucking repube talk about don't live off the teat. Everybody in his fucking family is living off the teat of the government. Yeah. He's got a white trash family. All of them are sucking off the fucking government teat. They get food stamps, and this is happening all over this country.
At least he's not related to the government,
right?
Boom. Sorry, well, I thought
there's so many people living the life that they're saying they don't want the government to fund. Am I wrong about this?
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
But that's on every level of every kind of human being.
What do you mean?
It's all self. I mean, it's self deception you're talking about. It's self denial. So I mean, it's a way of what people are. You know, they.
You know, I think the big problem is projection. I think in this country, everybody believes that they're around the corner from becoming a millionaire.
That is a huge.
That's really the problem.
I was actually just reading about this book. Let me say something really quick before
in a couple of weeks when I've made my money, I'll buy you guys everything.
The thing I said about poor people. So some of your listeners could be like, yeah, well, they still got their blah blah blah. What about the people who are jobless who did the right thing?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What about the people who went to college because that's what they were supposed to do, and then they went to get a job, but they're overwhelmed with student loans, right?
Overqualified.
Totally overqualified. So then they end up working as a fucking waitress or a waiter
or a stripper
to pay back those student loans, right? Stripper. Then suddenly you have kids. Now you can't get the job that you're actually qualified to. So or the jobs aren't available. You know, I mean, I have friends who are architects who are they can't get shit,
right?
But they did the right thing. I dropped out of fucking high school, but I got involved with the arts, so I got lucky. But all my friends, you gave me shit for dropping out of high school.
You did the right thing, Jamie. When you're talented, I'm not kidding. I'm not fucking around. I'm not blowing you. I'm serious. When you're talented, when you have what it takes to do the things that you're doing, Provenza, Kelly, when you have that, we don't need college. I'm sorry. No, we don't need college.
So
college
my master's degree is not worth anything.
You're wasting your time with that.
Sorry.
No, I think that I've discovered over the years, like, you know, kids are always like, what do I want to do with my life? What am I going to do? I think the thing that you think about as soon as you wake up in the morning is the thing that you should try to do. It's
fucking
art.
Beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
With you, it was your comedy or whatever you're doing. Yeah.
Then how am I going to make a living masturbating?
That's the thing. You have to figure that out.
Hello. Really?
But that's the thing. You have to figure that out.
Jamie.
I'm really being serious. And he still talk about
it. I agree with you. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode made possible by, us. We did it. If it weren't for us, we wouldn't be here. You're welcome. And now back to episode 25 with Kelly Carlin, Jamie Kilstein, Paul Provenza, and Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And I think that, you know, Neil said it interestingly earlier when he was talking about, you know, putting into the minds of these kids who want to go to Mars. I mean, it is about, you know, the world is changing. All the systems are breaking down. I truly believe the infrastructure and everything is completely shifting, changing. Who knows what the fuck it's going to look like in 25, 30 years. And that urge, when you wake up in the morning and, you know, know, who are you? That's inspiration. That's a new thought. That's right. That's an urge that's coming up, I think, through the human consciousness in some way to say, what's next? What's next? I mean, look at the Renaissance. You know, these men just like went towards what fascinated them, what they needed to, you know, investigate, what was next, the critical thinking, the science mind, and they pushed a whole civilization forward. I think we're on some sort of interesting trend in the next 100 years for what is next. And no, it's not going to be these institutions and these, and even like universities, colleges, all this kind of way we thought of getting ahead in the past or getting the American dream in the past. It's all going to be reinvented.
Yeah, it's so going to have to. We have no choice.
Exactly.
All,
right.
all that's all outdated and screwed up. I mean, my middle school, elementary school, middle school, and high school, all one block away from each other. My middle school had no windows.
Wow.
And air conditioning. And you know,
no
razor
air conditioning?
Wire. I mean, it only had air conditioning.
Oh, it did, okay.
But it was like, you know, in jail, those long, skinny windows with the plexiglass that you can't see through and the razor wire.
And if you have teachers that are underpaid and they don't give a shit, that rubs off on the kids.
And then one day, you know, I go to a school in the suburb for, you know, show and tell. I'm, you know, they're bringing me in. They're, shipping me in or whatever it is.
I'm confused. Why?
Well, it was like a busing thing to kind of go see.
This is a black kid.
Yeah, well, I was from the city. I was from Camden.
Wow. And now can we ask her questions? Hill, she might attack you.
Camden is
and I'm like, what's a study hall? You know what I mean?
Right.
So how do I, you know.
You're from Camden?
Camden, New Jersey, away 105.
So we just had this guy on our radio show named Chris Hedges, who teaches over at Princeton University. Yeah. And he's won like a Pulitzer Prize and stuff. And he used Camden as his example. There are just places in this country that we don't see on the news. That look worse than parts of the Middle East that we're bombing.
Wow.
Where, I mean, there are places in Camden where you go there, and again, Camden's how far away from Princeton, which is Ivy League,
not
right?
Far.
Yeah.
You go to Camden and there are literally trees growing through gas stations. There aren't grocery stores in parts. There are just like corner stores where, of course, you can't buy any healthy food.
It's
you
desolate can't. In some places, and then in other places, it's just so it's beer, like the corner world. Stores, cigarettes, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, literally, my mom and I almost got carjacked in front of our house just trying and unload the groceries, you know what I mean?
Like, and again, then you have people being like, "Well, why can't they get jobs?" I don't know, because they're trying
not to
die. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there are just cities that we just don't think about it.
It's about surviving, not about necessarily learning.
Absolutely. And when you're in survival mode, you're in survival mode. Yeah, there is no other psychic energy left to think about innovation or what's next or anything like
or
that.
Or logical deduction
psychic
about,
energy?
Or, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
just energy that we use to think.
Okay.
Because basically, you know, we have our basic biological needs, which is survival.
Right.
And then once those are met, we can, it's you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
We can rest.
Then you can think about other things.
Yeah.
You can think about learning. You can think about leisure. You can think about
masturbating.
Masturbating.
You like
that's
survival. As far as I'm concerned,
that's survival.
I build everything on top of that.
But you know, then there's cultural thing. I mean, you basically your mind can then has enough. It's calm enough because you're not in the lower
stress
reptilian
mode,
brain to stay alive.
I mean,
you can then engage. That's what I mean by psychic energy.
Well,
we're not talking about
too. Is like we all need to like calm the fuck down. Like I'm gonna bring this up, and I'm sure I'm gonna get housed for it. But it's like, you know, look, if so, it's an example. Should the rich white males tell the poor black single mothers that they're not trying hard enough?
Right.
Not until they live that situation. Was it right, you know, in the atheist community, was it right for men who have not been molested to tell some of these you know, rape survivors who got upset about the Dawkins thing, you shouldn't be upset? No, we have to. You know the one thing that Obama said before he got fucking elected and turned into a pretty decent Republican president?
Pass the Ducci on the left-hand side.
What I love that he said is we have an empathy deficit disorder.
Yeah.
Love that.
Love that.
We just need to be able to step back and be like, what if that was fucking me?
Yeah.
How fucking scary would it be if I didn't know if I could feed my kid? How fucking scary would it be if after I was raped? You know, what people don't talk about, so I've started reading these feminist blogs this year, and whenever they talk about rape or whenever they're going to talk about molestation, they have kind of like, you know how you see spoiler alerts before movies? They'll say trigger warning.
Yeah.
Because that's how much it could upset people, right? And then you have these guys who are just like, well, how am I supposed to fucking get laid if I can't creepily corner women in a bar or in an elevator? And it's just like, can't you step back and just not be a selfish cunt for like a second? You know what I mean?
Let me be very clear. We did a whole show on this, so I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Neither do I. I thought it was a good example.
But I do want to talk about it. I was going to bring it up anyway. I totally agreed with Rebecca's choice to bring this up, to speak about it, to mention it, to use the anecdote that happened to her in Ireland with a guy in the elevator. And I didn't hear any of the things that my male mammalian brain friends were spewing about this from Rebecca. It became that. I'm embarrassed by what our community turned this into, to be honest with you. I'm really embarrassed by how Tam dealt with it. I really am. It should not have been a fucking...
Such a big fucking deal.
It should not have been a goddamn new bylaw added to how we interact with each other. Although I will say, I've been to Tam twice now, and I've been flirted with more, 500 times more. I'm not kidding. 500 times more this week than I was last year.
You're looking hot,
Emery.
The difference is when you tell people that they have to watch out for that shit,
it triggers,
especially when they're smart, intelligent people who don't have that problem fuck off is
well,
what
they
see,
say. Well, see, this is the thing.
I had a girl walk up to me and go, you know, we have a 99% match on OkCupid and we have a date now. And I'm not kidding.
Maybe it's because she wanted to flirt with Rebecca, but since she can't.
This is what's going on. See, I got nothing. I got no flirt since I've been here.
Oh, no. Oh.
So they're going out for the guys. BJ, what's
going on? I'll flirt with
you, honey. Sweetie.
Heather, why haven't you fucked my girlfriend yet? Did I say Heather or BJ? BJ, why haven't you fucked my girlfriend
Heather,
yet?
Why haven't you fucked my Heather yet?
So I call you Heather when we're all together.
But we just need to be able to step back and just empathize with people. I think
the empathy thing is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Empathic Civilization by Jeremy Rifkin. Do you know about this book?
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
I'm putting a shout out, basically.
Okay.
He's brilliant. And I'm not here to. I mean, it's a 600-page tome, basically. But, you know, he talks about how empathy is the essential next factor for civilization. That without it, we are going nowhere. Because then it is that selfish thing we were talking about earlier between individual and the collective, that if you can't relate to your fellow human and be able to stand in their shoes, which is really what empathy is, then we are in a hell of a lot of trouble on this planet.
That's a problem. The golden rule is a problem.
Yeah. Well, look,
and you can't make it a law. You can't make it a bylaw and shit like that.
The laws. It's got to be human interaction. Yes, it's got to be. We have to communicate to each other.
You have to teach people to connect from heart to heart.
Yeah.
And that happens, you know, with day one from being on this planet.
I think it starts with training children how to think critically and reasoned.
Yeah.
And it builds from there.
And connecting with each other.
Proper
in a real
morality,
way.
All of it.
Yeah, and morality is huge. Yeah.
I think travel and talking to people is big too.
Yeah.
And because we've all done this, and I haven't even admitted this on Citizen Radio, but you know, there are times where if you remove yourself from something, so like when the Japan earthquake happened, right? You're watching the news, and like there was part of that one day I just remember being like, I fucking get it. Like, I want to see something else. And then I'm like, wow, I just thought that. Like, I call myself like a compassionate person.
Right.
And I thought that, but why? I've never been to Japan, right? When Provenza took me to China, that was the first time I remember I got to China and I'm like, oh, holy shit, this place is real. Do you know what I mean? You're just like, wow, there's an actual China. It's not just like a splotch on a map.
It's so true.
My Facebook page, I deal with that all the time. People who are so far removed from the rest of the world, you know, and they just couldn't even possibly grasp that would be different on the other side.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
When my wife and I, before we started making a living, when we were like driving around and living out of the car and went to places we never thought, I'll always remember this. I remember we went to Oklahoma City, which I never thought I would go to or gave a shit about. And then suddenly a couple weeks later, there was like a murder in Oklahoma City. And suddenly I'm like, I fucking know people there.
Yeah.
And suddenly that mattered.
Right.
You know what I mean? So how do you get that kind of empathy, even if you haven't been to a place? How do you, you know, and I think all it is taking a second, stepping back and being like, how it's that simple. You learn.
I think
when you're
it has
a kid.
To be taught though too, because you know, if it's not at least explained or shown or demonstrated in front of another child.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. Today's episode made possible in part by the hilarious book, The Atheist's Guide to Christmas. You can get a copy of Atheist's Guide to Christmas at Amazon.com and find bookstores everywhere. I'm honored to be included among the many brilliant contributors to The Atheist's Guide to Christmas, and portions of the proceeds go to the Terrence Higgins Trust to fight HIV and AIDS. Pick up a copy of The Atheist's Guide to Christmas today. And now back to episode 25 with Kelly Carlin, Jamie Kilstein, Paul Provenza, and Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I think this has to do also with literally the evolution of consciousness, that, you know, to be able to have critical thinking, you have to think beyond your own village. You have to think about, you know, beyond your own tribe, you know, and be able to think in a global manner. And you know, there's a good percentage of people on this planet who only think about their people, mm-hmm. their kind. Mm-hmm. And that's the only people they have empathy for. When you can start to have empathy for not only humans on the other side of Earth, but also trees and animals and things like that, that's when you have a more global empathic ability. And that, but that takes some consciousness.
Yeah, fuck the Muslims. I just want to say fuck the Muslims.
Because
the Muslims are fucking animals.
People? I mean,
they're inhuman and they treat women like shit. And they're
every
not
single
that
one
bad.
Of them.
What about people who are insane and so just do that? You know what I mean? Those people can't be reasoned with, and we're always going to have crazy motherfuckers
but
in the house.
But you know, you can also do it. So, but it's
not even about reasoning.
You're absolutely right, Kelly. I'm being silly.
Yes, I know. But it's understanding that some people just are at the tribal thinking level. And I'm not saying that's lower or worse or anything. I'm just saying that's how their worldview is right now.
I try to appeal to people selfishly if it doesn't work with empathy because, you know, I mean, I bet you money. So you just said something incredibly sweet. I bet if you sat up there in front of 600 skeptics and you were just like, we just got to look out for the trees, everyone would be like, fuck you. But if you explain...
I wouldn't say that, Kelly. I like you.
But you're right, right? But I think unfortunately, you have to be like, no, you care about the trees because if trees aren't here, you don't breathe. You care about the animals because factory farming contributes to global warming, which will hurt you. You know, whenever I'm arguing about torture with someone, I want to be able to say we're better than that. We were founded on not torturing and blah, blah.
You can't say that.
Blah, blah, blah. What I have to say is statistically it leads to bad results and sometimes you can waste time.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, so I'm going to be safe. And it's like, yes, you're going
to
be fine.
Yeah.
Safe.
And I think that's okay sometimes. Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think about when you were just talking about my dad's bit about, you know, the planet is fine. The people are fucked. And that, you know, basically he accused the environmentalists of being selfish humans, that they really wanted to save the planet for themselves. Yes. That is true. But if we own that in a conscious thought, saying, yes, I would like humans to be here in 400 years, then it's like we're owning our shit at the same time. You can own being selfish right. and at the same time be willing to be empathic and do the right thing for
not
another person.
Not if you're a Christian.
Certain Christians. Not all Christians.
Not if you're a true Christian.
There's plenty of progression.
If you're a Bible reading as opposed to Bible thumping Christian.
If you're a fundamentalist literalist, probably mm-hmm. not. If you're more of a progressive, someone who actually goes out and feeds the poor and acts like Jesus Christ actually probably did on the planet, if he was here, then not. But I think even within every single stream of thinking, there is the most tribal version of that. And then there is the global thinking person,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I actually would love to go on an atheist show and just like make fun of religious people, but I'm like a fucking sucker for punishment because I'm a comic and I hate myself. So I'm gonna totally back up what Kelly said, where I was thinking about this the other day. I would much rather, and take in mind, I'm like such a supporter of the secular community, 100% atheist. I think religion is just so fucking stupid. I think it holds us back. I think even a lot of times people who are moderately religious get held back because they think that God has some sort of plan. So, you know,
so they don't take action.
I relapsed with my drug addiction, but that's okay. God has a plan. Or, you know, like me and my like wife for soulmates, like we met because of this. And it's like, no, it was you. And that's kind of awesome or whatever. I don't like religion.
You diminish the human being when you give it to God.
Exactly. But what I will say is I would much rather hang out with a bunch of people who are feeding the poor and maybe not, and not pushing their religious beliefs on them.
Yeah.
But are feeding the poor and then go to church on Sunday than a bunch of fucking atheists who sit around, do nothing. Don't fucking vote. Don't fucking try to petition Congress for separation of church and state and just sit around. They're like, hey, Christians are retarded, right? Let's go look at our Richard Dawkins poster, jerk off splooge. Yeah. Like, I don't want that. I don't give a shit about those fucking people because it's easy in a community like this just to sit around and talk about how much smarter you are than people. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, until Christopher, look, think of Christopher Hitchens, man. I'm like, any atheist who supported the war, it's like, did you do more damage by killing all those civilians, which then led to more extremists than you did by turning agnostics in America into atheists? I don't know.
You calling out a guy with cancer?
Only because he has cancer. Specifically.
I can't fight back
right
now.
Otherwise, he'd be, yeah.
But what I'm saying is like.
The only thing I disagree with Hitchens on is the war. That's the only thing. Yeah, he's right about virtually everything else.
I just want all those followers.
Including anal sex.
I just want all those followers to fucking, to do something. And a lot of them do. And I think a lot of these coalitions are really great that petition the government and try to get.
Listen, listeners, get off your fucking asses. Stop jacking off to Dawkins' poster. Yes. Or I'm sorry. No,
you
stop jacking off. Hold on. Stop jacking off to Rebecca's poster. and and do something. My daughter called me. She's an atheist, and she goes, "God damn it!" That's how the call started. Right? What's wrong?
Beautiful.
God damn it, Dad! Fucking God! Fucking how do we start? How do we raise money and do something good for the... That's what she was so mad because all of these Christians that she's watching are raising money.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say something. There are a lot of people doing a lot of great work who are atheists, non-believers, and deists even. Mm-hmm. People who believe there's got to be something that started it all but don't worship anything, which are great people, for the record. And there are a lot of people doing a lot of good, and I think you know that.
Yeah, but that's absolutely what I'm trying to say. I just want more people to do it.
Yeah, and more of us need to do it. And I'm trying to remember who said it. Somebody said
it was me.
somebody said they wanted to see atheists get out there arm in arm with those Christians and help them feed the poor. And in my brain, I'm like, and stop giving them fucking Bibles and to do that.
Yeah.
You know? Hey, are you hungry? Here's some food. Hey, read that while you... Here, fuck you.
Come right. to the service. Yeah.
That's indoctrination. It's taking advantage of the weak.
Right. Yes, I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want the Christians who are like, yeah, we went to Africa and fed them. We took all their condoms. But we, you know
exactly.
what I mean?
Right.
That is bad. I don't want us hand in hand with them. What I want is to show people that we're not just about making fun of people. What are we against, but what are we for?
Yep,
right?
Not just in
so
reaction.
What I think is fuck arm in arm. What I think though is that
we should be
the front row for every gay rights rally. Yep. Fucking atheist for equality, right? Mm-hmm. Front row for fucking a woman's right to choose. Atheist for a woman's right to choose. We should be protesting those fucking wars. Because again, every civilian, every child that we kill over there, their family, a relative is turning into another extremist.
Yep.
You have to be politically active. As opposed to, again, only, just sitting around being like, we're better than people.
We only kill what we eat, but, for the record.
Yeah. And can I still watch
and
American
tasty.
Idol?
Are they tasty?
You can still watch American Idol.
Okay, good. All right.
But you know what I mean? We don't need to sit around and be like, oh, put the flying spaghetti monster. We fucking know. We know that. Now, what do we do next?
Now, you know, my take on this is that everybody does their part, you know? Neil, for example, he doesn't like really aggressive atheists. He's spoken about
Neither
that
do
before.
I.
Yeah.
Aggressive anything scares me.
Why
do
we
me?
Hang out then? And
because we like
I was like, you have to get the fuck out of here.
I'm leaving now.
I'm a dick. He doesn't like the really aggressive thing. I think there's room for everybody.
Me too.
We need the pens. We need
PZ is probably my favorite in the community.
We need PZ. We need us all to be, doing it. And you know what I think we need to stop doing? I really do think as a community, we need to stop picking on the ones that aren't exactly like us. Yeah. We need to understand.
That's where empathy comes in. You have to have empathy for those who were
thin,
but are
even
different.
In our own group, we have trouble understanding each
Isn't
other.
Isn't it interesting?
The golden rule, again, raises its head. And by the way, do you know what I'm talking about when I say this? The golden rule, I want your opinions on this.
Sure.
The golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think that's a horrific idea.
I'm going to blow everybody.
It's exactly.
So what's your spin on it?
I like the platinum rule, which I wrote, which is do unto others as they would have you do unto them. That's a great idea. That tells you, the golden rule tells you, don't worry what other people want. They probably want what you want. Just do it. And that doesn't fucking work almost ever, okay? It makes miserable both the sadist and the masochist.
Right.
It just doesn't fucking work. And that's why marriages are so shitty. The man is getting in bed and doing to the wife what he wants the wife to be doing to him and vice versa. And right.
Be of service you're talking about then ultimately.
What you do is you find out what somebody likes, wants, needs.
Right.
And if you want to interact with that person, you supply that to them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's beautiful.
And it is beautiful, and it needs to be both directions.
Yes.
So the platinum rule makes that empathy thing happen.
And it tells us
everyone's not the same.
Well, I think the empathy thing is there's two forces within the human psyche. There is the narcissistic force, which is it's all about me and the universe spins around me. Mm-hmm. And then there's the there's the empathic force, which is it's all about you and what can I do for you?
Right.
And I believe we are in a moment by moment struggle with these two things. And I think the more we have a rational consciousness about where am I at and what's driving me in this moment, what is my intention, the better chance we have in relationships with our lovers, our husbands, our wives, our friends, our community, our atheist community, our spiritual communities, whatever they are, the more chance we have to actually get the real work done.
Right.
I almost started singing Stand By Me.
Please
that
do.
Was, that was beautiful.
Go.
I don't know the words. I'm sorry.
When, yeah. Do you know that song?
Not going to go there.
Okay.
She's the singer in the room.
I know.
She's singing. Do you know that she's singing?
I know she's singing tonight.
I thought you were being racist.
She's singing twice tonight.
I'm so excited.
She is being racist.
I get to see Heather sing tonight.
Yeah, no. I'm singing with Satiristas.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm on the Satiristas.
Are you singing on the gospel?
Yeah. I'm singing the singing gospel. The gospel.
Can I also bring up that I think they just started the show?
Yeah,
I might have to go.
That's what that
is.
He probably
it starts
go.
At He's, 9, doesn't it?
He yeah. says show starts at 10. Can you come now?
There's ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank 10. Everybody for being here. First of all, let's have a round of applause for Neil deGrasse Tyson and Paul Provenza. I want to thank you for coming on my show. I wanted to get you on my show, Jamie, for a long motherfucking time.
Dude, this show is awesome. That was so much fun.
When you're in LA on a Wednesday, I want you back. I want a whole hour.
Can I plug the podcast?
Yes. Plug the podcast.
And then we will plug you as well. So I do a podcast with my wife, who's a writer and writes for The Nation. It's wearecitizenradio.com. And we've had...
Is that a little bit slower? What was that?
Oh, it's called Citizen Radio.
Citizenradio.com. Your wife is out.
It's we are.
Wearecitizenradio.com. And we've had people like... we've had PZ a bunch and Peter Singer. And then we've had Noam
Janine
Chomsky.
Garofalo and
Howard Zinn. Sarah Silverman, Bad Religion.
And you have to say your wife's name because you just said your wife and
Allison
she's going to read.
Kilkenny.
She's phenomenal and great writer too.
Oh, thanks, man. She's great.
And so check out that podcast. It's one of my favorites. Kelly does a podcast at New Dissident Radio as well.
Called Waking from the American Dream. Yeah. I'm on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific time and I have deep conversations with interesting people.
Yes. She's more than someone that just shot out of George Carlin's penis.
No, because I technically shot out of my mom's vagina.
It was a little both a combination.
Yeah. It was a combination, but I came physically out of mom's vagina.
Jamie Kelstein, Kelly Carlin. Let's hear it for her.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Next week on Ardent Atheist. I'm really excited about having Omar here today. Troy called me and said, I have a guy who is, I like the phrase, recovered Muslim. I don't know if that works for you, Omar.
Recovering.
One day at a time.
Right? And and
one safe house at a time.
One fake name at a time.
That's exactly right. And I have a friend who is in entertainment. And I had asked him to be on the show. And he said yes. He was going to come on the show and he was going to talk about being a Muslim atheist, if you will. And he canceled and wasn't returning my call. And I finally got a little aggressive and I emailed him and I said, I'll leave you alone. Just tell me I need to leave you alone. Or are you just missing
what me? Part of the last 200 years didn't you get?
So he apologized and said, I'm really afraid. I'm really afraid to come on your show. My family still lives over there. I'm not sure where over there for him is. And he said, I'm really afraid of coming on your show and speaking publicly about how much I don't believe, because he was literally in fear for their life.
I'll
in Romania.
Really take offense with something, though, which is the stereotype that criticizing Islam is inherently poses a physical threat of violence.
I think you should look at opinion polls, and opinion polls in Britain, I'm afraid I don't have the exact figures with me, but after 9/11, young Muslims, sort of 20s and 30s and teens, were asked what they thought about 9/11, and some horrifying percentage of them were in favor of the 9/11 atrocity. These are British citizens whose only reason for saying that is their religion, the religion with which they have been indoctrinated.
The only ones doing this religion right are the ones that are willing to fly a plane into a fucking building.
Yes. Who was it? Victor Stenger said, science flies you to the moon, religion flies you into buildings.
Well, you know, Sarah Silverman actually puts that right out there in her book, The Bedwetter, which is really great, actually. But she says...
I didn't know she was a Muslim.
She says, she says the one group of people I won't
make fun
offend
of.
Is Muslims. And she said, quite simply, it's because they scare the hell out of me and I don't want people to die because of a joke.
You know, Penn does the same thing.
But you know, that's the point. I mean,
but haven't you just done that the second you say that? You're ridiculing, I think you're ridiculing more ardently in that sentence alone than every joke I've ever made about towel heads.
Oh. And by the way,
I'm sorry,
I'm going to go ahead and speak now.
He
has not even begun to offend you yet.
I'm going to go ahead and mansplain this.
Let him finish. Let him finish. Emery, please.
I meant sand nigger.
There we go.
That's everybody. It's part of the show.
That's a lot more better because you've also offended African Americans.
You couldn't see that wind up the way you were sitting.
Believe me,
I told them that the only two slangs that I do not
mine are Telhead and Sendinger.
Right, right.
I appreciate you have not used the other
I'm totally
but
avoiding.
Don't you dare use any of those others.
No,
that's
no,
really...
I'm totally avoiding Camel Jockey because he told me earlier. That's it for episode 25. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Today's music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. We also want to thank our Facebook publicist, Cameron Winters, and our field recordist, Bennett Hirschhorn, as well as Bryce Hackney and Jacob Dax for assisting us, and all the wonderful TAM goers who contributed by being fantastic audience members.
You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.